No drama whatsoever in terms of counting down towards the trade deadline and wondering whether the Tennessee Titans are going to be buyers or sellers. The news this week that Kevin Byard was traded to the Eagles sends a clear message of what Rand Carthen, Mike Vrabel, and the rest are thinking as they look ahead to the rest of this season and beyond. If anyone was making plans to go to playoff games this year, I would suggest maybe you're going to have a little extra time on your hand than you thought in January. There is a little drama involving the quarterback position once again, and what's going to happen Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons when former Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith comes to town with his Atlanta Falcons. Which would normally be huge news, but in light of the Byard trade and other things, it's taking a little bit of a back seat right now. And I think without any argument, we will use a good chunk of this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast to pay tribute to Kevin Byard, who has been a stalwart for this team ever since he was drafted in the third round in 2016. And we will do so with our usual panel, former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing amazing, David. How you doing?
That's good to hear. I'm doing great as well. John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you guys are.
Good to hear. Good to hear. I am, of course, David Beauclair. And before we dive into this, a little housekeeping. The Titans have made a couple other moves. They signed to the practice squad defensive lineman Marlon Davidson, who was a second round pick by Atlanta in 2020 and was an absolute stud at Auburn back in the day. Has not been able to do the same in the NFL to this point, but I would suspect he will be on the active roster eventually. And they claimed off waivers from the Arizona Cardinals safety Kayvon Wallace. So I guess Wallace factors into the somehow the post Kevin Byard era here, as will Terrell Edmonds, the player that they got back from Philadelphia in that trade, in addition to a fifth and a sixth round selection in the 2024 NFL draft. Denard, let's start with you, as somebody who's been in a secondary who played with really good safeties. I dare say great safeties in Blaine Bishop and Marcus Robertson. What's it do to the defense and the secondary specifically to remove Kevin Byard from this equation now?
Wow. I mean, I didn't see this coming, but we talked about this before the season started, that Rand Carthon had asked Kevin, what was it, to take a little pay cut. And Kevin wasn't buying it, and he held his ground. And so you lose one of the best. You're talking about a dynamic playmaker. You're talking about a two-time first-team All-Pro, two-time Pro Bowler, and you're talking about a man who is, that this organization, you're talking about the definition of integrity, you're talking about KB, the marshal. And so now he's out. He has left for your hometown, Philly, where he was born. And now he's getting a chance to, he's on a team now that could potentially be a Super Bowl contender. And so this is going to be interesting because now you have Terrell Edmonds, a former first rounder, who's coming to town in 2018, and he's getting ready pretty soon to face his former team, the Steelers. So is this a demoralizing and dejected feeling to that defense? No, because guys know that one thing about in this league, they will give you a jersey, and at some point they will take it up. And so you just got to move on, David. I remember back in 2000, there were some rumors that they were going to make changes after that team loss to Baltimore, and they did. Me and Marcus was out. A lot of other players was gone as well. Kenny Holmes left for New York. A lot of guys went on and signed a lot of money. So we know that one thing that's inevitable in the National Football League is change. And what Rand Carthon is, he's a new general manager, And I guess the executives for the Titans said, listen, we're going to let you run the team, and this is his first big move.
John, you know, I said it. It looks to all the world as if, you know, the Titans are selling. What was your take on the move? What do you think it means that Rand Carthen is thinking here?
I think that certainly is a part of it. You know, whether or not they're going to admit it, you know, I think they look at a team that is 2-4 right now, that has lost 11 of its last 13 games, and then they look ahead and say, how are we going to get better? And you look at the draft and you say, okay, you know, pre-buyer trade, we've only got 6 picks right now, and we've only had in 4 of our last 6 drafts, we've only been able to pick 6 or fewer players. So there hasn't been much of a, you know, a pool to build off of, if you will. So I think that was part of it. I think then the Titans also, you know, felt probably that Kevin Byard was not going to be a part of the future, even though he had one more year left on his contract. You know, he was due a $4 million roster bonus in March. And I think the Titans looked at that and said, look, we're not going to be, you know, we're probably going to try to cut him, or we're not going to pay that $4 million roster bonus. So if we're not going to have Kevin Byard back for next year, we may as well try to get something for him. And what better time to do it than at the NFL draft, or excuse me, at the NFL trade deadline. And I think that's certainly factored into the timing of this as well. And then maybe the last factor, you know, I think as good a player as Kevin Byard has been, great a player Kevin Byard has been, some of the numbers, I think, for Kevin, you know, not all of them. Some of them have declined a bit since his last All-Pro year in 2021. You know, so I think probably the Titans took a look at that as well, and that factored into it. You know, if Kevin Byard, as good as he was, wasn't able to kind of single-handedly make the Titans' pass defense better than 32nd last year and 22nd this year, maybe he's a little bit more expendable, you know, than a lot of us thought he was. So I think all those factors went into it, but certainly it appears that the Titans are willing to look at the future right now instead of the present.
Yeah, it's interesting about Kevin Byard, because when you think about him, you don't get this flood of memories of these just huge plays he made, right? Like he's not a Troy Polamalu, or he's not an Ed Reed, but he's kind of a coach's dream in that, you know, he know that if you're the coach, if you're Mike Vrabel, if you're Chris Harris or Anthony Midget before him or whatever, as a secondary coach, you know exactly what you're getting from this guy every day. You know, he's going to show up every single day. He's going to be on the field every single game. He's going to be in the right place at the right time. You know, you hear it all the time. Balls seem to find him, and you know, not all of his interceptions are him running downfield with a wide receiver and being in position. It's being where he's supposed to be, and then a ball gets tipped and he's in position to make the play. It's all those sorts of things that have distinguished his time with the Titans that I'm really interested to know. You know, we all saw Mike Vrabel's reaction when AJ Brown was traded, and it was clear how much he despised that move. I have to believe that this is a similar feeling, although I get the sense that maybe that, you know, there this has been talked about for a while. It's funny that the Titans, and we'll get into this a little bit more as the trade deadline approaches, and people talk about players who could be on the move or whatnot. You see 3 Titans players in particular right now in Ryan Tannehill, DeAndre Hopkins, and Derrick Henry that people have targeted as these guys could be on the move now as well. And I assume the Titans are going to make more moves, but the only thing that makes me say, well, there's a chance maybe they don't make another move is for whatever reason, it seems like Rand Carthen in his time as Titans GM has not seen in Kevin Byard what the rest of us seemingly have seen in Kevin Byard over the years. And, you know, Denard, you referenced it. You go to Kevin Byard and ask him to take a pay cut, which means you don't think he was worth the money he was making. And now to make this move very quickly, it's kind of funny to me. I wonder what Rand Carthen is thinking. And it's interesting that Rand Carthen has not addressed this move publicly. When the day after the deal was announced, it was Mike Vrabel who was at the microphone and the podium and in front of the cameras answering all the questions, which was odd to me. It seemed, you know, this seems to be a deal that Rand Carthen absolutely has to speak to. So hopefully he will address it at some point, maybe next week after the deadline passes and other moves are made, that'll happen. But until then, we're still kind of wondering. Mike Vrabel, of course, put a positive spin on this, or I guess a good face on this thing. He was a good soldier in answering the questions and said things like the season's not over. We're completely focused on Atlanta, and even suggested, well, this deal might have happened if the Titans had a winning record and not at 2-4. So, John, I'll ask you first. Do you buy that this deal would have been possible, probable, even with a winning record?
I don't think so. I think all those, you know, the factors I mentioned would still be in place. You know, that Kevin Byard still has a contract, a bonus due in March that the Titans wouldn't have been interested in paying. You know, the Titans are still lacking in draft picks for the draft. You know, and again, the Kevin's number, some of them have slipped over the last couple of years, but still. You know, if this is a Titans team that even had won one more game last year, that's you're talking about a division winner, playoff team, that buys you, I think, a little bit more credibility this year. You know, the thought being that maybe this team rebounds from 2-4, or if the team again had started off well this year, if we're sitting here saying that the Titans are 4-2 or if even 5-1 or whatever. Are we really thinking that they're going to give up, you know, a franchise cornerstone, their starting free safety? At that point, to me, the circumstances make it entirely different, and really the fan outrage would have been even more than it is right now. And there's been a pretty sizable backlash, I would say, on what the Titans were able to bring in. So yeah, I do not buy that. I think the record this year certainly plays into the trade.
Denard, let's talk about this too. Terrell Edmunds comes, and you mentioned this is a guy who was a first round draft pick in his day. Hasn't played up to expectations, maybe necessarily. The book I've seen on him is that he's physical in the run game, not the best pass defender, so more like a traditional strong safety type. But we all know that safeties are kind of interchangeable more so these days than they used to be. But you know, Mike Vrabel mentioned Elijah Molden getting a bigger opportunity now. Does Amani Hooker maybe become the new Kevin Byard for the defense, and everybody else shuffles in around him? How do you think, you know, obviously it's going to take Edmonds a little time to get up to speed, but how do you see this thing shuffling out in terms of roles going forward?
I don't know, because when you make a trade in midseason, you're bringing in a new player and he has to get acclimated to your system very quickly. And John, David, I want to just kind of piggyback on what y'all were saying earlier. And you was right. If this team was 5-1 right now, I don't think there would be a change at all. And if you think about this, and something that people don't factor out there is age. And there's an age where all of us, we become expendable. I mean, if you look at it, Kevin is 30 years old. So everybody in this league always talks about the NFL. It's a young man's game. So everybody's looking to get younger. And I was reading something interesting, David, I don't want to deviate from your question.
No, that's all right.
But when you think about it, before this trade was made, I was reading where the Titans had a first, second, a fourth, and 3 7-round picks. That's tough when you talk going into the draft, 3 7-round picks. So now you get that fifth and that sixth with this trade. So again, Rand Carthen was thinking about the future when he made this move. And also, you got to take in the fact that, I mean, this was it was heartbreaking, but it's a win for Philly because if you look at Philly's defense, their secondary has been banged up. I mean, look at that. Even Chauncey, and they end up losing in free agency, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who was a mainstay for that defense last year. You're talking about that Super Bowl run, and even when Kevin gets there, he's going to be paired with his Middle Tennessee State brother, Reed Blankenship, who's also banged up. So they needed to make a move to kind of shore up what's going on in their secondary. So yeah, it's tough right now. I'm just kind of speechless, but I'm not surprised by this move.
I guess shout out to Rick Stockstill and his staff down at Middle Tennessee State with I mean what is the likelihood that you'd have two guys like Kevin Byard and Reed Blankenship playing together at some point the way they will now. And I mentioned this earlier that Henry, Tannehill, Hopkins, a lot of speculation. DeNico Autry is another guy who's in the final year of his contract. I think might be as attractive as anybody else out there. John, back to you. I guess if you're, do you see one of those guys most likely to be traded? And if so, what's a logical destination, do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure I've gone into destinations well enough to be able to point out teams, but I certainly think a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, granted he's not in the last year of his contract, but if you're a team looking for that additional piece, an added wide receiver that might make you a Super Bowl contender, here's a guy who just the other day had what eight catches for over 100 yards, so he's clearly able to get the job done. I think he could bring a little bit, in return. Obviously, Derrick Henry could bring some return, though probably not as much. We have to remember, teams are looking for what a guy is bringing in the future, not what he did in the past. DeNico Autry, Pierre Tart, another guy too that we need to look at. A guy in the last year of his contract. And it does not appear just from the outside that all is necessarily well between Pierre Tard and the team, if you kind of read the tea leaves. So I think he is a guy that might bring some value and would be valuable to other teams as well. But if I'm the Titans, if there's a question of whether I keep going after the buyer deal or whether one and done. I mean, don't just dip your toe is the way I think. If you're going to go in, go all in. If you're going to commit to the future, don't just go to the extent of getting a fifth and sixth for next year. Bulk it up even more. Stockpile those draft picks. I mean, you're going to have to make clearly you're going to have to send a message. And we've talked about this before. I think all the way from ownership, to GM to coach, et cetera, that message has to get out there saying, look, we have to be looking out for our future. We have to look out for the big picture as well. So, as much as we love these guys, we might have to move some of them. They're going to have to get that message out there. But I think it's wise to do so. What's the point of maybe, as I say, dipping the toe and maybe getting a little worse and getting a little bit better in the future? I don't think there's much point in that. So if I'm Rand Carthen and the Titans, I say keep on dealing up till the deadline, which is October 31st.
Denard, do you expect more moves? Like you think the guys in the locker room are looking around now going, all right, who's out of here next?
Yeah, I hate to say that, but when you make a trade like this, you're talking about one of your star players in midseason. Yeah, a lot of guys are saying, who's next? And what's today? The 25th. So you got a few more days, and guys are probably saying, this could be my last time in Nashville. And I was thinking about it, and I said, I kind of read through, David, and I was, and John, I was thinking about if you're going to make a big deal or a big splash, you would have to take one of the players that have a big contract if you really want to make a big move. And I kept thinking one name, and we've talked about him not much this season, and that's Harold Landry. Now I know that earlier this coming into this season. He did restructure his contract. I know he signed that in 2022, that 5-year, $87.5 million extension. And that kind of cleared up when they restructured. Do you see them making a move like saying, listen, we need to cut as many guys or get as much as we can? Could this be something that the Titans entertain?
That's an interesting thought. I honestly hadn't considered that, but you're right. Like if a guy like Kevin Byard doesn't get you anything better than a fifth round pick, and you know, yes, you got a veteran player coming in with him, but yeah, I mean to your point, if you want to get second day picks or possibly even a first round pick, a guy like Landry who's going to go to a team and be under contract for a while, I guess that makes sense. I'm really curious about what the market for Derrick Henry would be. I would think that there are teams out there that are saying, okay, he's not a 2,000 yard back anymore, but he's a hell of a lot better than anything I have on my team right now. And I can't help but think, and much to the dismay, I think, of Titans fans everywhere, that I just see Derrick Henry in Baltimore Ravens purple right now. You know, maybe it's the Steve McNair, Derek Mason, Samori Roll effect. You know, we saw that back in the day. You know, that's a team that could absolutely use a punishing back in that backfield. And you think about, just think about the way we have seen defenses attack the Titans and deal with Derrick Henry. Now you put him back there with Lamar Jackson and their read option game and the things that they're doing in that offense. I just think if you're the Baltimore Ravens, you are contacting Rand Carthen right now and doing everything you can to make that deal happen. There's actually odds out right now on where Henry and Hopkins will end up next, and these are from Bet Online, and Pittsburgh is the favorite to get DeAndre Hopkins at 5-1. Buffalo is actually the favorite to get Derrick Henry at 2-1, with Baltimore after them. Pittsburgh is actually in the it gets pretty good odds for Henry too. Kansas City Chiefs, that imagine putting Derrick Henry in that offense too. I mean, that would be crazy. Certainly he wouldn't need to carry the ball 30 times a game to make that offense go. So again, this is there's a week to go here. We will keep an eye on these things, but we do need to look
I'm just
ahead to
going to make
Sunday. Yeah.
one quick point, David. I wonder if all of us too, even though we've all touched on it here, I wonder if we underestimate also the whole fan reaction side of things, you know, for in terms of Derrick Henry in particular, trading him away. It's one thing to say, hey, this makes sense logically for the Titans to do this, to say we're not a good team in the present, to give up players in order to get draft picks. You know, but it's quite another, I think, to actually willingly move Derrick Henry, a legend, you know, with this franchise away. And how many people would calmly, rationally, and logically say, you know, if you're a fan, say, oh, I understand. It's the big picture. Okay, we'll see you, Derrick. You know, best of luck to you. I'm already looking forward to some good draft picks. I don't think there's you know, there are some fans that are like that, but there's a ton of fans who, understandably, because of all that Derrick Henry has done, you know, there's going to be a huge sense of outrage, and there's going to be plenty of people, I guarantee, there to say, I'm out on the Titans, whether it's just watching the Titans for the rest of this year, whether it's renewing season tickets. You know, I think that probably has to play some role in the decision the Titans make, particularly on Derrick Henry in this situation.
But I would counter that with saying that, you know, what we've seen from Tajay Spears, particularly the last couple of weeks, at least you see the future without Derrick Henry. And you can understand, okay, there's somebody there. I mean, it's not like they moved Kevin Byard out because they had this young safety who was bucking for playing time, and it's like, okay, well, let's just go ahead and open the door and get this guy on the field right now. You know, we've talked about the situation at wide receiver. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is basically the only thing they have going there right now. And if they move him out, it's going to be like, okay, well, can Treylon Burks stay healthy now, and can Nick Westbrook-Ikhina do more, and so on? It's I mean, at least with Derrick Henry, you can say, okay, we've got a piece in place that we can go forward with right now, and I don't see that at the other places, including if they're able to and willing to move Ryan Tannehill. It sounds like we're going to get a look at the future one way or another Sunday against the Falcons. Tannehill did not practice on Wednesday. NFL Network reported that Will Levis is the guy being prepped to start the game, although Mike Vrabel is insisting that both quarterbacks will play some. Denard, is that the right call? Do you think you go with Will Levis, or should they be thinking more Malik Willis right now?
Well, I'm going to go Will Levis. You know, I was very high on Malik.
Yeah.
I know he came in sparingly a couple weeks ago, and he played well considering the fact he didn't take a lot of snaps. But I think it's time that your second round pick, what they took him 33 in the second round. He's got all the intangibles, 24 years old. He's young, 6'4". He got a rocket of an arm. We talked about that. He has all the physical attributes. He's tough, and I think Will fits what Tim Kelly wants in a quarterback. If you look at all his quarterbacks that he had in Houston,
Houston.
and does it is who was that the quarterback in Houston that from Stanford played well against Tennessee,
Davis Mills.
Davis Mills.
Yeah.
You kind of see a lot of the similarities. I just think Will right now. See what you're going to get out of him. I know that he's a rookie. We talked about, and you know, you told me this, David. You said that he looked great in training camps at times, but then there was times where he just looked terrible. He looked like a rookie. So, I mean, just go with him. I mean, what do you have to lose at this point?
I said it last week. I said this decision was made the day they drafted Will Levis. It said that they didn't have the confidence in Malik Willis, and again, we saw it last year late when they pulled Josh Dobbs off the street. This, you know, that I do think there is value in giving Willis certain packages and changing things up and giving the defense a different look, but I think from the moment they drafted Levis, the thinking was, if we get in a situation this fall when Ryan Tannehill can't go, then Will Levis will be our guy. Now, they certainly would have liked to have had him not get hurt in the preseason and get a little more work there. And John, I guess that brings me to you with the question. How prepared do you think Will Levis can be with just the minimum of preseason work he got and whatever practice time he's had up until now? And obviously this will be a much different practice week for him.
Yeah, that's the biggest, single difference, or one of the single biggest differences between Malik Willis and Will Levis right now is Malik Willis. He's a more of a known quantity. We saw him in starts last year, played in, a handful more games. We saw him heavily used in all three preseason games this year, and again, we saw him in a quarter's worth of action against the Ravens. Whereas Levis is very much an unknown quantity. He only played in the one preseason game because he was injured, the calf injury that kept him out of two. And obviously, he's not taking a snap this year because he's been the third quarterback the whole time. Throw in also the fact that, these guys, both Malik Willis and Will Levis, aren't getting regular first team reps in practice. They're splitting scout team duties during practice weeks, and there's obviously going to be a lot of question marks. So One thing that was mentioned, today that probably at least should help, is that last week during the bye and, so far this week, with Ryan Tannehill not in there, that means Will Levis and Malik Willis too are getting regular reps with the first team receivers, first team offense. Even last week they were throwing to the first team receivers. So I think the last 2 weeks will help Will Levis, more than people might think, in that regard. But it's gonna be a roll of the dice, out there for sure. But it's got to be done if you want to take a look at your guy who was a second round pick. What I'm a little bit still kind of scratching my head over there is the idea that Mike Vrabel, today he talked a little bit more about this idea of both guys playing, both Levis and Willis playing Sunday. And he talked about, the possibility. And again, this might be Mike Vrabel just blowing smoke out there and saying, hey, try to figure out what we're doing, Atlanta Falcons. But, he said in terms of a potential rotation that maybe it's a play-by-play thing. We're running, the quarterbacks are running the plays in. Said maybe it's going to be a one series deal for each guy. Maybe it's a two series deal. Maybe we use one for certain packages, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if I'm really on board with that. Mike Vrabel didn't ask me if I was, so that's fine. But to me, it's like if you're gonna commit to a guy, which they are apparently in Will Levis, give him the best chance. Commit to him fully. Don't be out there, if he plays well for a series, you leave him in. If he's not playing well for a series, you take him out for a couple of series. I don't think that's any way to build confidence. I don't think that's any way for a quarterback to get into any kind of a rhythm either. I can understand, maybe having the certain packages from time to time with Malik Willis. But, as far as a rotational every series or even every two series, I don't think that gives Will Levis, again, assuming it's Will Levis on Sunday, his best chance to get in a rhythm and play well and for the Titans to win.
DeNardo, if you're a veteran cornerback on the Titans right now and you're practicing against Will Levis this week, are you letting him complete some passes maybe and try to get his confidence up a little bit? Are you going at him? Are you going at the receivers hard, saying, look, if you think it's hard now, you wait till you see what you're up against Sunday? How would you approach that?
The second one, you go hard. You want to make it as hard as possible because this is game like tempo. This is game week, and it's different because now you're not going like in training camp where you was talking about how good he looked when he first came in. You're not going on air. You're not playing 7-on-7 with shorts. Arthur Smith, they're going to blitz you. They're going to come after you. They're going to show you different disguises. The cornerbacks are going to press you. They're going to press bail you. They're going to disguise the coverages. They're going to make it, it's not everything's going to look the same. So you want to make it as hard as possible for Will. And very thankful they got this bye week. I mean, that can help out a lot. And Arthur Smith knows this organization. So that's even worse. But again, I think this move, and I agree with you, John, is I've always called it let a young player fail to succeed. Which means that they go in there and struggle, let them struggle and let them fight through because the decision that they're making Sunday, if Will is the starter, they're making a decision who to build around in 2024. So again, this is going to be a big game because it'll give Tennessee an idea of who's our quarterback going in 2024. So again, let him go in there and let him, he's going to make some mistakes. He's a rookie. He is a rookie, so you have to understand he's not going to come in there and look like the Will Levis against Florida in 2021, David.
So, John, if Ryan Tannehill's not traded, is there a scenario where Will Levis can show enough, do enough the next couple weeks that Ryan Tannehill doesn't get his job back this year?
I don't think so, and I'll go back to what we asked about what we asked Mike Vrabel last week about the Ryan Tannehill injury, and said specifically if Ryan is healthy, is he automatically the guy? And he answered pretty straightforward. Said yeah, if he's healthy, he's the man. So I would have to believe that's the case going forward, even if Levis has enough good game or two now, where things might get a little different. If we're 4 or 5 games down the line, the Titans have won, say, one or two of the games, and things are certainly going south. Then, if it's pretty clear that you're not going to be competing for a playoff spot, then I think circumstances entirely change. And maybe you say, oh, okay, Ryan Tannehill, we're pretty sure you're not going to be our guy next year. It's going to be too costly, and we want to move forward with our draft pick. Then I think it's probably a much, much greater likelihood that you see Will Levis, move into a starting role, even if Ryan Tannehill is healthy at that point.
Yeah, I mean, say this: as tough as things have been for the Titans, if they win this game, they get to 3-4. Right now, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams in the AFC that are either 4-3, 3-3, or 3-4, and one of those, Buffalo, is actually in the playoff picture right now. So, as bleak as the situation looks, it could get better. So as we wrap this thing up, I mean, let's just go real quickly here. Does anybody think, with Ryan Tannehill not playing, with dealing with the Kevin Byard trade, Tennessee Titans going to win Sunday against Atlanta? Denard, yes, no?
They're playing in Atlanta.
They're playing in Nashville. They're wearing the Oilers throwbacks. We haven't even
If they're
tuned
wearing the
into
Oilers
that.
throwback, they're going to win. They've been 2-0 at home. I got the Titans winning Sunday.
All right, John.
Ooh, I have a tough time. Probably a rookie quarterback playing in his first game. The Titans offense has struggled even with Ryan Tannehill in there. I have a feeling it's going to be Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm still a big believer in Arthur Smith. I think he finally has the team he wants and has things going the way he wants. I'm going to predict a successful homecoming for Arthur Smith, but we will see how it all plays out, and we will be back next week to talk about it on Believe in Titans.